Our last talk for this, our last presentation for this session is Pontic Bag Therapy, presented by Andrea Kelly and Jill Hall. Jill has worked as a clinician at War Memorial Hospital since 2001 and particularly enjoys working with patients with neurological conditions and in-group settings. She is especially motivated by seeking ways to improve patient experiences, outcomes in health through practical clinical research and quality initiatives. Andrea is the Allied Health and Outpatient Manager at War Memorial Hospital, where she's worked for the past 3 years. Andrea is an occupational therapist by clinical background and has worked in a variety of aged care and allied health settings in Australia and internationally. So firstly, I'd like to thank the ACI for inviting Jill and myself to speak today. It's been a great morning so far at this really innovative conference. I'd also like to acknowledge and thank the War Memorial Hospital team, some of whom are here today, who've been involved in implementing the Funky Fab program at War Memorial. by now get back to our talk. So following that snapshot into our program, let's go right back to the beginning. So in 2010, War Memorial Hospital were successful in obtaining funding through the Coalition of Australian Governments for key initiatives to enhance the provision of subacute services. The goals identified were to improve health outcomes, functional capacity and quality of life of patients by increasing the volume and quality of the subacute care services across the hospital.
So our inpatient team embraced this COAG funding and extra resources, and it was a terrific opportunity to really look at the way we were doing things and how we could enhance our services. We had lots of debates and discussions and consideration of the literature and research to work through how we might best implement these changes at War Memorial Hospital. There were several key questions that we needed to find answers to. The first one was, how will we use the funding and who will we include?
Well, research indicates improved health outcomes are linked to increased activity. We currently run a 5-day service. If we increase our service to 6 days, this may assist us in achieving our goal. We currently run a very successful outpatient group program. Let's extend this success to enhancing our group program in inpatients. Who will benefit from the service? We are a small 35-bed hospital. We want to offer this innovative service to all. But how will this work for our clientele?
Well, the groups don't have to be for everyone. We'll still be continuing with our normal one-on-one therapies, but in addition we'll be offering groups. Being old and frail is no excuse for not participating in a group. There's certainly a lot of research that indicates that activities can be modified so that people can participate according to their abilities. And there's plenty of research that groups are equally effective on one-on-one treatments. This has been shown across settings, from inpatients to outpatients and community, and across people with different diagnoses, such as osteoarthritis, balance and falls prevention, chronic pain, neurological conditions, and cognitive impairment. So how are we able to get people working at sufficient levels if we're mixing all these people together in the same groups?
Well, Jill, you're the physio, so you can probably answer it better than me, but research shows that participation only needs to occur at a moderate intensity, with benefits gained by 1 to 2 sessions a week. So if evidence says this type of program should work, how can we do it?
That's true. It's always hard to fit extras in. I guess the thing that's really positive is that the research is indicating that with groups, not only can you increase the client's participation in groups and their outcomes, but you can actually also improve the therapist's use of time. So I think that groups are probably a good way to go, but this is going to fundamentally change how we're delivering our services to our clients. So how can we make this work?
There will be a shift towards more group participation to enhance our current rehab program. This will require a collaborative, team-based and coordinated approach. At this stage, we just need to give it a go and make changes as necessary. We've kind of just gone ahead a few slides here, so hold on.
Okay, so fast forward, where are we now? You've sort of seen a snippet from the fantastic video that the team put together earlier on, and we certainly have come a long way in a short time. Since 2010, we've introduced 7 groups to our inpatient therapies. From the occupational therapy perspective, we have the Funky Friday team, a functional circuit group, Light and Easy, which is a gentle exercise group, Coffee Club, which provides opportunities for patients to participate in community access, Falls Prevention, which is an educational class. The physiotherapy department are responsible for our Fab class, which is our fitness and balance group, Tai Chair, which is Tai Chi in chairs for people with less ability, Saturday Service, which is originally one-on-one driven, but now we've introduced groups to Saturdays as well. And we have, which is we've just recently introduced in the last few months. I guess pivotal to, I mean that's a lot of initiatives in a short time, probably pivotal to the success of this has been our allied health assistant position, which Craig is currently doing. And this really provides the glue because he works across both occupational therapy occupational and physiotherapy departments and is involved with all groups in one-on-one therapy.
So what does this look like from the patient's perspective? Collaboratively, how do they know what's happening? The patient's timetable, which you can see here, was an initiative implemented to increase staff patient engagement, patient advocacy and a consumer-directed approach. So I copy up this timetable detailing all groups that are run throughout the week. It's provided to all patients on admission. Okay, so we've shown you what we're doing. Is what we're doing working? So here are some of the occasions of service provided by the occupational therapy department. The green shows our OT occasions of service stats, minus the intensive therapy program. The blue shows our total occasions of service if we include the groups provided through the intensive therapy program. And overall, it's providing an additional 17.65 occasions of service per week. Okay. Again, what we have here is the green showing our OT occasions of service minus the individual therapy provided through intensive therapy program. The blue showing the combined, and it's showing that we are providing an additional 2.15 occasions of service per week. So overall, inpatient occupational therapy services initiated through COAG funding have resulted in increased activity levels. An average 25% increase is shown overall for occupational therapy.
From a physiotherapy perspective, we've looked over the years of occasional service. So from a group occasion of service, this graph really paints a 1,000 words. The lighter green is what has been added in addition in 2010 with the addition of our group therapy. So you can see that there's been a huge increase there. In fact, it's over doubled. And that's accounting for an extra 17 occasions of service per week for our clients. And then if we look at the individual data, again, we've got icing on the cake with light blue icing this time for the COAG individual occasions of service. Again, a substantial increase, and this overall increase in occasions of service of 27.8 per week, which is incredible. And I think what's really interesting here is that you can also see the dark blue is existing staff and what they're doing, and you can see that with the adjunct of the COAG funding, we've actually increased what the existing staff were doing, because we think that in doing groups it's more time for one-on-one therapy. So if we can combine the group therapy and the individual therapy from a physiotherapy perspective, then actually all up we're delivering a whopping 44.8 additional occasions of service per week, which is really incredible. That's a 25% increase, which seems a little bit fudged because it's exactly the same as what the occupational therapy department have done, but that's what it is. So I guess we've got this huge improvement. The question really is then, and what we're more interested in from a clinician's perspective, is all of this activity actually giving benefit to our clients? Is it improving their outcome? War Memorial Hospital more broadly contributes and participates in benchmarking through AROC, the Australasian Rehabilitation Outcomes Research Outcomes Centre. And pleasingly from here, when we compare clients that have similar clinical complexities within the benchmark groups, our length of stay is actually about 0.5 of a day less than the benchmark. And similarly, if we look at the functional independence measure as a measure of the gains, they're making gains that are about 0.5 of a unit higher than what the benchmark is as well. So there's certainly some positive things coming through there. But it would be remiss of us to lay claims to all of that. Obviously, that there's many things that are contributing to that improvement in the client. So I guess then to drill down a little bit further, we've now done some outcome measures that we think are more specific to our disciplines.
So with the shift of healthcare towards evidence-based practice, demonstrating outcomes of intervention has become an essential component of occupational therapy practice. The OT department are currently trialling the use of the OSTOMS tool, which is an Australian therapy outcome measure, to measure service effectiveness within the intensive therapy program. The OSTOMS OT facilitates clinicians in demonstrating if client change occurred and attributing that change to therapy intervention. So the OSTOMS OT, if you're not aware of it, is a therapist-administered tool and offers therapists the choice of a 12 function-focused scales, including self-care, domestic life, community life, upper limb function, and many more. Therapists evaluate the client's status globally in relation to four domains: the underlying impairment, activity limitation, participation restriction, and distress and well-being. So preliminary results over a 6-month period demonstrate that the most frequently used scale from occupational therapy was functional mobility, interestingly enough, closely followed by transference and self-care. Improvements were mainly found within the activity limitations domain, and the maximum amount of improvement was 4, with an average improvement of 1.2 and a scale of 1 to 5. What does this tell us? Overall, the majority of patients showed some level of improvement in one or more areas, demonstrating that current service provision is working. In addition, the AUSTRANS has assisted in the identification of areas of practice where successful outcomes are achieved, potential areas of clinical improvement, and quality assurance.
From a physiotherapy perspective, we chose to use the Timed Up and Go as an outcome measure because it's an objective assessment. It's basic mobility skills through a sequence of functional manoeuvres used in everyday life, which Chris outlined before. And it's been shown to be a valid measure with excellent inter-rater and inter-rater reliability. We collected 3-month data from July to September last year, which gave us, we only had complete data for 91 of our patients, but nonetheless it still indicates how they are. At the beginning of their therapy, so their initial timed up and go, the average measure was 42.1 seconds. With a range from 11 to 20. So it's really showing that they really are quite disabled at the beginning of their rehab. The normal value indicated by Bohannon in 2006 from a meta-analysis found that for 80 to 99-year-olds is about 10 to 12.7 seconds. So we're 4 times slower than that. And then on discharge, the clients had made a huge improvement by over 18 seconds. So at discharge, the average timed up and go was 23.4 seconds. So that's a big, big improvement. But I think we need to keep in perspective that it's still a long way off from what's regarded as normal values. And so this probably highlights the need for ongoing therapies post-discharge, which would nicely fit in with, I don't know where Chris has gone, but I'd certainly like to tap into his program. So certainly all of the outcome measures that we've been looking at are indicating that we are delivering a good quality of service, and I guess the next question is just to drill down a little bit deeper through some quality initiatives to see if we really are delivering function fabulous therapy. And we've done two things, I guess this is part of a series, but what we're going to deliver, one is just an observational study of our fitness and balance group, and then we're going to go on and do some patient and staff satisfaction surveys. So in the evaluation of our fitness and balance group, we just did an observational evaluation. It was done by staff and also by students of 3 consecutive FAB classes. And certainly the indication, I won't go into it here, but they were very typical of our inpatients. The average age was 86. One person was 95. They had mini mental scores between 13 and 26. With an average of 18, 69% had falls history. So that each class went for 35 minutes, and this was looking at lower limb strengthening exercise repetitions, which could either be done in sitting or standing, or in transition as a sit to stand exercise. And I guess this just really highlights that there's a huge variation in what clients are doing in the class. Some people did 40 reps, some people did 150 repetitions. And then on the next slide, we're looking at the time that they spent in standing. Now there's no research that says you should spend a particular time in standing or sitting, but on average they were spending about 14 minutes in standing. And again you can see that there's a huge variability there, I think from 7 to 28 minutes for standing. And on the third slide we're looking at how hard the clients are working. Are they actually working at a level that's going to get benefit? And we use the a rating of perceived exertion, and again you can see there's variability there from 2 to 10, but the average is around about 5, which is resting at a moderate intensity level. So just from this we concluded that certainly we think that what the clients are doing in the class is working at sufficient levels and sufficient durations to be getting benefits to their fitness and balance.
So in addition to reviewing output and discipline-specific outcome measures, it is also essential to gain staff and consumer feedback to ensure the service provided is matching client need. As a quality project, the Occupational Therapy Department collated staff and patient feedback through the use of a questionnaire.
On this slide are a few of the comments received. Overall, the response from staff was very positive. Areas of critique were more around operational and organisational issues rather than actual service delivery modes. And you can see 100% returned questionnaires stated yes, they felt OT intensity groups increased patient activity on the ward. Okay. Patient feedback, again, feedback from patients was extremely positive, as is evidenced by the comments displayed. Noted points, opportunities for activity and social interaction, and in areas of improvement, the most frequently noted comment was, more groups please, so that was quite good. And that's us. Thank you.
We might have time just for one question, but a little bit of housekeeping. Any questions?
Just wondering how you break up the day. I'm getting more individual patients of service, but how does it work with then who runs the group and how many staff members are you needing to run each group? Your timetable could be really cool and very exciting, but if that was me, I feel like I would lose time out of my day.
Yeah, and that was the initial thoughts. Certainly from a physiotherapy perspective, we have an allied health assistant who's doing 24 hours within in the physio department and then 8 in the OT department. So he's really pivotal and he's involved in all groups. And then what we did was we did a roster with who would help with different groups. So different therapists would help with the Thai chair and with the Wii and also with the FAB, and there's a bit of a timetable around that.
Again, the same in occupational therapy. We were funded for a 0.4 occupational therapist and 0.2 of an AHA, so they're actually running the program itself, so it's not impacting on the other clinicians' work. Yeah. So we were quite fortunate.
Yeah. Okay.